We are excited today to enter this new year, and we're going to talk about, what's that word?
Priorities.
Priorities. And so the phrase that God dropped in my heart a little while back, a few weeks ago, was how do I, in 2023, how do I walk into this new year, and how do I make Jesus my priority? How do I make Christ a priority in my life? How do I make living for him a priority? See, lots of us say we have priorities, right? My wife and my family, they're my priority, right? Oh, if you could have seen the looks there. No, that was not. Your poker face needs some work. And Aspen just plain rolled her eyes. She stuck her lip out. I say it is, and my head wants it to be, and my heart says it should be, but often I don't live out what I say my priorities are. Does that make sense? Some of you guys, you say eating healthy is a priority, being healthy, right? I was with you over this holiday season. You know what I'm saying? We say we have certain priorities, but are we living them out? Do our lives align with what we say our priorities are? And so we want to make Jesus our priority in the new year. So there's a million different ways we can do this. So you actually don't have to hear just me today. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we've got a couple other people that are going to just share some thoughts on keeping Jesus a priority as we walk through life. Prioritizing Jesus. So that's our goal for today. All right, give me some ways I can do as I walk forward in this new year to prioritize Jesus in my life, right? So the first thing that I came up with is live with a supreme set of values. Well, that seems like a lot of big words. What do you really mean by that? I mean that it's so easy for us sometimes in church. And we've got words for this, and so I'm not trying to be super cruel. I'm just trying to be really honest. Like in church, I'm kind of this way, and when I'm around Jim, I mean, he's a super Christian, and Kathy, well, I mean, she's like next to Jesus, so like I've got to kind of be holy, and you know, but when I'm with my other group of friends, it's not like I'm just being sinful, but like I kind of change. I'm kind of got the chameleon effect, or things kind of change is what's important depending on who I'm with. And I'm not talking about in a healthy way, like where you want to be aware and kind of like serve people well. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like I would make decisions differently depending on who I'm with. Now you should stick your lips out for that. That's not good. I'm sure I'm not talking about anyone in the room, but just in case there's anyone here like that, like I think we all are tempted to have that happen. Well, I'm just kind of one way when I'm at work. I still love Jesus, but I'm one way when I'm with my family. But when I'm at church, that's when I can really love Jesus. And I'm just thinking, if I want to prioritize Jesus, because it's, as we're coming through the holidays, anyone get a little foggy headed through the holidays? How about holidays and blizzards? Okay. How about holidays, blizzards, and church Christmas Day on a Sunday, right? Pretty soon we're like, we haven't known what day of the week it is for like a month now, right? And any one of those, you know, throw in a funeral of a dearly loved member of our church family. You throw all that in the mix and we're like, oh, what am I doing today? I don't know. And New Year's is that kind of time anyways, because things are up in the air for the holidays. New Year's is that time where we're like, all right, we're gonna get back into it again, right? That's what, you know, all the gyms sell all their memberships in January, right? You know, all the daily planners, all the organizing things. This is the year that we're gonna get that closet cleaned out. I know it, I can feel it, right? It's kind of the beginning of the year you reprioritize, like, all right, we're gonna get back on track. And so trying to set the year right by saying, well, let's live with a set of values that are present internally in our lives that we live from regardless of who we're around, regardless of if we're kind of in a head fog because we've eaten too many gingerbread cookies and stroganoff, right? And I don't know what you guys have at your Christmas or whatever, but or if we're blizzarded in, or like our internal set of values should be so strong that no matter what life is throwing at us, and that's how Jesus walked. Jesus walked with this connection with the Father and this just internal set of values that it didn't matter if his schedule got interrupted. It didn't matter kind of what the world threw at him. It didn't matter what group of people he was with. Like, he walked with this compass within him. So quickly, we're going to talk about Joshua. One section of scripture on Joshua. You remember that guy? Who did he serve under? Moses. Yep, he was Moses' aide. We read in Joshua 24, and he's having this big speech before the whole nation, okay? He's the leader. And he says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Here, that's kind of, he lays down the gauntlet. He says, here's what I want to see you do as your leader. "Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." And then he says this, and you guys all know this scripture, but we're just kind of putting it in context. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." So he's saying the gods that your family, right, your family traditions and your forefathers, those gods that you were brought up with, or the gods of the culture, the land that you're in right now. We don't want to ruffle any feathers, right? We don't want to make anyone upset in the culture because they serve those gods. Joshua's just saying, don't walk with a bunch of different hearts. Have one heart and one choice. And he's not pressuring them. He's like, here's what I'm saying. You need to serve the Lord. But you know what? If that's not where your heart's at, then don't be duplicitous. Just then serve those gods. Like if you're torn, then go somewhere else. Like do something wholeheartedly. And he says this last line. This is his internal dialogue. "But as for me and my house," like he's saying, man, I don't know how, like at that point, he didn't know how this was going to end. He didn't know how this was going to go. They could turn and mob him, which you see in the scripture all the time. Joshua said, "I'm guided in this moment right now. I'm trying to be a good leader. I'm not trying to twist your arm and force you, but I'm going to, as your leader, I'm saying you need to serve the Lord. But if you're not cool with that, then you need to go do something, like serve those other gods or do something, because you can't just be just kind of, well, when I'm with Israel, then I'm kind of hanging out worshiping their gods, but when I'm with the culture, then I'm serving those gods. When I'm with my family, well, we're serving those gods we used to serve back in the day. Like, who are you? Who are you going to be? What are you going to be guided by?" And Joshua's just saying, "As for me, I don't know how this conversation is going to end, but I'm going to serve the Lord. We're going to go forward with God." And you see the same kind of thing with Daniel. And I love this. Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. You know the whole story. And we're about to come up to the lion's den here. And they're saying, "Give orders." He's telling the king, "Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty," because they're kind of setting up Daniel, they're jealous of him, "that they'll be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law, all right? So there's the context. There's what happened. The law got signed. You worship anyone else except for King Darius, lion's den for you, right? I love this. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went into a moral outrage, got on Facebook, told all of his friends that we're boycotting this nation." Daniel had such a strong set of internal values that whatever else he did, that was guiding his, like, did he probably have some fear? I would guess. But he had this internal guidance system that was plugged into, Jesus. And he said, he went home. What did he do? He went home and knelt down as usual. What did he do the day before? Well, he went home and knelt down all those times per day. As usual, in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. He didn't need to have a huge reaction. He was guided by this internal set of values that said, I know my God, and I'm gonna do what I do. I don't have to hang a banner outside my house that's like, I'm praying even if you buggers don't want, you know, like, sometimes there's call for that. But Daniel just, what'd he do? Did what he always does, because he was guided by these principles and values. Last one. Paul, this is a kind of an obscure verse. You don't hear many messages on this, but I just love what Paul is saying here. He's like, in 2 Corinthians 10, for some say, he's kind of disparaging Paul. They're kind of like, yeah, he ain't nothing, right? He's like, he's just a big talker. Some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. So Paul says this, such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we're absent, we will be in our actions when we're present. He's saying, I don't have to react to something. He's saying, I am. This is the values that I live by. And you might just don't mistake graciousness for a lack of values. He's saying, I'm the same whether I'm with you or whether I'm away from you. So that's if you want to prioritize Jesus, don't rely on external stimulus to bring Jesus into your life. Just, you're going to walk with God, and it doesn't have to be dynamic and incredible. If you walk with Jesus, it will be dynamic and incredible, but do you know what I'm saying? Walk from an internal set of values. The second thing is invite God into the ordinary. And we always think, like, we always are looking for these amazing God moments, and we're the kind of church that are always praying for amazing God moments, like we prayed for it this morning. At the same time, most of your life is lived in what we call the mundane, the ordinary, the day-to-day life. And so we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, in 2023, how can I walk with God? How can I prioritize Jesus? Well, the scripture says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own dumb business. It's my version. Working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you'll not need to depend on others. Look at this. As you live like that, people who are not believers will respect the way you live. Well, what am I doing that's so out of the ordinary? You're just living for Christ every day. You're not causing a bunch of trouble. You're not being a bonehead, right? You're just walking out your life with Jesus, doing your stuff, walking with integrity, being a person that people can trust, and doing things well, because that's how God would have you do it, with excellence, and like walking in wisdom, and like all the stuff that we do, he's just saying, do that. You don't have to be extraordinary. Like, God will highlight your life to people that don't even believe in Christ, and they'll go, you're different. And you're like, well, I'm just getting groceries, right? And you end up changing someone's life. Huh. Well, that's kind of cool. I love this. Sorry, that's supposed to be the Message version. I put NLT there. That's wrong. Romans 12, verse 1. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. So as God helps you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. How do I prioritize Jesus in this new year? Well, man, I love 12 Steps to a Better You, and I love all that stuff. I read those blogs, and you know, we won't sit and talk about all the new tools that I've got, and, you know, digital pen, you know, tablet. Like, I love systems and things to make your life work better. I like that stuff, but honestly, like, this is where it starts. Everyday life. Just doing the checkbook today. That's all I'm doing. Okay? I'm just washing clothes. That's what we got going on today. Yeah, Romans 12, 1. Take that life and place it before God as an offering. Yeah, I'm not one of those, like, worship leaders or preacher people. I'm just, you know, I'm really kind of a nobody. Not true. Not true. You're a life changer. Right? You are an ambassador of Christ as you do your thing. Well, I don't really have a thing. Yeah, you do. You do. You drive a car, you know, you have kids, you work at a school, you know, you're a nurse, you're a mom, you're a sister, you're a son or a daughter, you're a friend, right? He finishes this with, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Amen? Your ordinary everyday life. So, ordinary everyday people, my mom and dad, are coming up to tell you a little bit about that. I don't know what exactly you're sharing, but like, stand up and come on up here. Just like, come this way. Just walk up here right now. Yes. Stand in Marilyn. Yes.
Well, he gave us a little heads up last night, just a teeny bit.
A teeny bit. This is right.
And it's short. He said 2 to 3 minutes. Anyway, I decided this morning before I came down kind of what I wanted to share. And this morning it's all been shared. You know? It's
cool?
Kind of in the same theme. In 1979, I asked Jesus to take over my life. And the Bible says that we become a new creation and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so for like 40 years, I've been trying to become a new creation, trying to make myself a new creation. And I've been disappointed and sad and keep seeing I'm not the new creation I want to be. And about 4 years ago, Holy Spirit just kind of started working with me. That's where it gets
See?
It from.
See, I know it. Just a bunch of crybabies up there.
And kind of let me know I had some soul wounds that needed to be healed. And so for the last 4 years, I kind of, when I see something in my life that I don't like, I go, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't like that. Yeah. I know I can't change it, but I'm going to surrender it to you. And let's work on it together and make me a new creation in that area. And that's been, I've been seeing some light in the last 4 years. I was talking with my son-in-law yesterday, and he said, he goes, the thing I like about you the most is you're just you. There's nothing phony about you. You're just you. I said, yeah. That's all the more reason, Nate, that I have to work on my soul so I can be a better you. So that was what I wanted to share this morning.
So it's just a conversation with the Holy Spirit and just walking that out together.
Surrendering those areas and not trying to change them yourself because you're just going to end up frustrated.
So that's really prioritizing Jesus. Like, I want Jesus first in those areas that... Instead of just struggling and being frustrated, you get to just exactly what we were talking about today.
Yeah, and we still need to choose and make choices. He doesn't just bam do the whole thing. But
it'd be nice if he did, right? Like, where's that? Can we get in that line? Where's that line at?
Sometimes, Stan said.
Are you done?
Yeah. I'm done.
I just want to say that Jesus is priority in my life, our lives. And I'll talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. You know, some people are scared of the Holy Spirit, which is so sad. But the Holy Spirit is your best friend daily, hourly, minutely. Mm-hmm. If we can listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide us through life. And he's guided me so many times. But the bad part of this whole thing with me and probably most people is we want to do it ourselves first. Do it ourselves till we fail and then ask the Holy Spirit, help.
Yes.
I've had help a lot of times. And I just want to say I could give you so many examples. One was... this the current one. I had my tractor and loader. I live out in the country, and it was a small leak on one hose, and I just had this urging that I should change that hose, go get a new hose. But I thought, well, I can get by it. I can do it. My first push that after that storm, I blew the hose and covered the whole back end of my tractor with oil. It was a mess. But if I would just listen, you know, then I had another hose with a little leak, and I did fix that one right away. A little after the fact, I think. But there's so many different ways that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He just wants to direct us through life if we just listen.
But walking with God, that's just about the big stuff, right? It's about just about conferences and about huge things and about just 400 people that are one to Christ. And it's just about that, right?
No. I like to make things out of wood and metal, design it. But I'll stop and look at it. And I think, well, there's no way that's going to work. But if I just look at it, the Holy Spirit will just show me what you got to do this. And it comes out good. So he'll guide you through life. That's his goal and his, that's what he wants to do daily, hourly, minutely.
So in your everyday, ordinary life that verse was saying, you're
yep.
eating, drinking, going to sleep,
right.
going to work life.
Yep.
Holy Spirit wants to, that's a way that we can prioritize God. Sometimes it doesn't look like this. Sometimes it's just listening to his nudge, listening to that still little voice that is just prompting our hearts to go talk to someone or don't do this or change the hose, right?
Yep. And he's speaking to us all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
If we just learn to listen, that's it.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Yes. Thank you, guys. All right. Next on the list, Jim Conser, coming to tell us profound thoughts.
Stan was looking that I had papers, and he goes, what? That's for now and today? Well, here's the way my brain works. It's always moving around. So if I don't write it down and follow it, who knows where we'll end up. Here's a for instance. Today, okay? When the Scrabble tiles were up here, and the word was priority. Did anybody count how many points you'd have got? Huh? How many? 13. Exactly. So whatever Kirk was saying, well, I was figuring out how wonderful if I'd have had that word would have been. I got nothing. Right? So when he asked me to share a little bit, and it's just been a crazy couple of weeks with storms and some other things. I didn't want to very bad. But there aren't a lot of you here that have lived longer than Stan and Marilyn and Kathy and I. And I'll put Jerry in there. I don't know about Jenny, if she we could throw her in that pile. But, you know, life experience, the school of hard knocks, you learn things. And hopefully we listen to one another and we learn and we benefit, which is why Kirk asked us to share. And the key, as Kirk has been preaching, talking about the heart and matters of the heart, I'm going to share just a few thoughts and then give an example or two and end with a thought or two. And one of the first things that came to my heart was that scripture in 1 Samuel 16, man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. Everything we do and say should have Jesus at the center and our heart responding to that to please and honor him. Everything works out. It doesn't make it all everything wonderful and everything happy. There's messy stuff happens. There's hurt and bad things that happen. But if Jesus is in the center, if your heart's desire is to please and honor him, then you navigate those things. Yes, there's some pain and some pricks and some thorns in the foot, but God brings you through. And as Kirk was talking about his parents. You know, we're just people. All of us are just, we're made in God's image. God's planted in each of us gifts and abilities. What's our desire with them? You know, is it to please and honor him? Faithfulness in small things matter because many times they're the building blocks for the bigger things ahead. devotions and prayer and what we listen to and how we use our time are all small things that build into something that God wants to do in and through us. Many times in retrospect, in the sequence of events in our lives, we can see how God was directing our path to be in a certain place at a certain time. So here's an example. You won't be able to follow all of this, but just how God's leaded and directed and moved us around. I was at my brother Phil's wedding, so this is, well, he's been married the same number of years or was, 49 years ago. Met a fella that sang in a gospel quartet out of Bemidji. And then we ended up joining that quartet, leaving Bible college, when the smart thing would have been to stay and finish, but we felt like that's what we're supposed to do, move to Bemidji. And then we meet Lowell Lundstrom, talked to him a couple times. 79, we ended up moving out here to work for Lowell. I was Irv's helper. God bless you, Irv. 10 years I spent there. Then connected to the power team and then to an evangelist, R.W. Shambach. And then we moved back to what we thought was to help start a new evangelistic ministry. And what really ended up happening is we ended up helping to start Christian Outreach Center. We were here the first Sunday when we met in the middle school. No idea who was going to show up. And somebody had a sound system, and we borrowed a piano, and Kathy and I led worship. So we were here for a number of years, and then felt like it was time to move on, but our youngest daughter, Kelly, wanted to finish high school here. We had 1 year left, so I find something to do. So I drove truck for Woodland for 10 years, and for Cass Clay, delivering milk, and then to Watford City to run a payloader, and then part-time leading worship at Cornerstone, where through the church leadership, we're connected with the need for someone to start a mission in Watford City. What was our part? Saying yes, being willing to follow, wanting to please God more than what was comfortable for us. So we're able to start this thrift store and a feeding program and devotionals and coat giveaways and Christmas toy mall for kids, and many volunteers and churches work together, help thousands of families. Started with a toy hauler travel trailer in a church basement room to sort in, to a 40 by 60 building and a 50 by 90 Quonset, plus an additional shed that's there now. And the 10th anniversary will be this summer. What were the keys? Prayer and obedience and having a can-do attitude. Why? Because God was right there with us. If he has a plan and we want to be in the center of that plan, just keep putting one foot ahead. Did it all go smooth? Heavens no. I mean, we could talk for hours on the stuff that didn't go so well. But God was still there. God had a plan. God is faithful. God is all-powerful. We just need to be good listeners and be willing to be obedient, because it's his ownership. You know, we were sent there to start and to work with people, but it's his ownership, which is why it still continues. They had the coat giveaway here in October. They gave away 580 coats in one day. 580. We couldn't imagine something like that when we went up there 10 years ago. Thanksgiving meal, they served 195 people, and then the Christmas event, toy mall for kids, I don't even know the numbers. But God's still there working through the people and the board and the new director, still having a heart to reach and touch people. Jesus is the center, and he's the reason we do what we do, and we obey and we follow his lead. And sometimes, and many times, maybe most of the time, you have to be intentional and you have to be determined. You can't be swayed easily. If you're feeling God's directing you in something, you know, get people to pray with you. Get wisdom from other people. And then let God use you. Each of us is made unique, and what we do and how he leads us is going to be different. You're not going to all be a Jim and Kathy concert, and Kathy says, thank you, Jesus. But big or small, be faithful, and the results are actually his. When I drove for Woodland for 10 years, I sometimes call some of those years kind of being in the desert. But how do you use that time? What practical thing can you do? Well, I took a 3x5 card, and I made a prayer list, and I hung it up on the visor. And all while I'm driving 1,700 miles a week or whatever it is, every day, I'd look up there, and I'd go through that prayer list of people, things in the church, people that are sick, people with relationship issues. I could do that no matter where I was. Nobody could say, no, you can't do that. I could do ministry in the cab of that truck. And I would sing, and I'd tell myself jokes, and I'd do all kinds of fun stuff in there. I laughed, yes. And then I thought, I know, I'm going to memorize a psalm. So I wrote this psalm out, and I put it on a card. That doesn't work. I couldn't stay on task long enough. I don't think. I maybe memorized two verses. But and now that we're semi-retired and here and helping in the church and driving for transit, we listen to people and their needs and the struggles that they have, and we pray. Some we can pray with them there. Some when we go away. Sometimes we're able to get them help from one resource or another as we're able, because our heart is to be God's hands and feet. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, whether you're 6, 60, or 82. It's God's grace and his presence in our lives that make things happen, and so, so necessary. Make room in your heart for God to write his story. And then partner with him. Devotions is a big deal to me, and I have to be on task and do it first thing just because the way my world spins. So I started a new one this morning by Tim Tebow. Anybody know who he is? So the first one wasn't a devotional. It was actually a prayer, and after I read it, I said, yeah, that's how I'm going to end this little two-minute deal. We're still under 2 minutes, aren't we?
Yep, it's 2 minutes somewhere.
My papers are always leaving me. Here's the prayer. Dear God, thank you for being the maker of all things new. As a believer who trusts in Jesus, I affirm that the old is gone and the new is here. I'm a new creation, and today's a new day. Help me to make the right decisions and say goodbye to the former things like bad habits, addictions, and negative attitudes. Help me in each day to become more aware of whose I am. Teach me to reflect your image and not mimic the patterns of this world. Transform my mind so I will grow in your wisdom and discernment and discover what your plan is for my life. When I get overwhelmed by doubt or insecurity, remind me that in you I am a masterpiece. That even before I was in my mother's womb, you created me to do good works in your name. I pray those things come to pass in their right time. As I continue to grow and learn, open my spiritual eyes and ears to recognize the hope of your calling and to value what's most important. Thank you for leading and guiding me in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. That's great. Not sure what's going on with that. Pretty amazing how God knit stuff together, and so many things that we've already heard today, and then we keep hearing them again today. So prioritizing Jesus is partnering with God in the everyday things and finding ways that we can serve him and saying yes, surrendering, saying yes, moving forward. Yeah. Now our last one for today is Marnie Snaza. She's related to me by marriage.
I'm going to go fast. At some point, I would just ask that you would look up Luke 1, 26 through 38. And it's a familiar story as we've just come through Christmas, because it is the story of the angel visiting Mary and speaking to her. And as we were talking about prioritizing Jesus, the very thought of priorities is if you list a priority, there's one that's on top, right? That's the highest priority. You list the highest priority. And so the very thought that if Jesus is the highest priority, that means everything else is underneath, right? And everything else underneath includes me. It includes my family. It includes my job. Like everything else comes underneath that first priority. And so the thought of that means also then that, and we've heard this word many times today, is that it requires surrender, right? The very act of putting Jesus first and me second means that I am surrendered underneath. I am putting him in the first place. And so in this, in Luke, it shows us, Mary shows us this attitude of surrender when she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." And if you read the story, I'm just going to quickly bring it out, but she goes from being greatly troubled at his words. Okay, angel shows up and it says Mary was greatly troubled. So that's like, that's how she's starting out. She's greatly troubled at his words. And then the angel proclaims what's going to happen to her. And so then the next thing is, well, how is that going to be? Have you ever been... Hi. I love you, honey. But we're questioning, how is this going to be? And then to the final part of it where she goes, "Let it be unto me according to your word." She releases and says, "All right, God, you have your way." Now, I like to put myself into the places of the characters. So can you just come with me for once? Just pretend in a way that you're Mary and you have this great visitation from an angel. Can you imagine what that's like? How easy is your surrender in that moment? Pretty easy, right? Like the angel just said, the Lord is with you. You found favor with God. No word from God will ever fail. Powerful angel. Like, yeah, I surrender. You do whatever you want, right? That's me anyway. How many of us have been in that same place? We've been in the service. Even now, how many of you is God wooing your heart? Right? Like you feel a tug. You feel God speaking to you and requiring from you, going, "Let me in. I'm knocking. Let me in." We're feeling that, right? But then there's this really interesting part of the scripture that it ends with. It says, "And then the angel left." We don't like that part of the scripture. The angel didn't hang out with Mary the whole 9 months, reminding her what the promise was, right? The angel left. And that's the ordinary. The angel left. The grandiose supernatural moment was gone, and Mary was left with a very normal, ordinary life to live. She was left with what her surrender was really going to mean. It wasn't just a passive thing. She wasn't a rag doll or a string puppet. She had choices to make. She had to show up. She had to care for her body and the child within. She had to face people every day that thought the worst of her. She had to trust God that indeed no word would ever fail and that she would live. Because rightfully she could be stoned. She had to let go of her will, her dreams, and her ideas. I can guarantee you she had some thoughts of what her life was going to look like with Joseph. This definitely was going to be different than what she was thinking. She had to actively trust, pursue God's ways, and follow his direction, even ending up traveling many miles for what Joseph and Mary thought was a census, but in reality was a prophecy being fulfilled so that the Savior could be born in Bethlehem. In my life, as I look at this, I think in order to prioritize Jesus, I must first surrender my life to him, whether that's in a spiritually high moment or when the angel has left and I am left with a very ordinary day. I choose to let go of my control and my ways, but I don't stop there. And I'm going to just finish with these few sentences. Many times we can think surrender is just, okay, God, have your way. We've all been there, right? Okay, you just do whatever. Okay. But it's not passive. It is not you just, okay, I'm not going to do anything else. It's picking up then the things that we need to truly live surrender. I pick up his word, which reveals to me his character and his direction. I pick up prayer, which enables me to commune with the Lord, to hear from him. I pick up worship, which consistently places the Lord in the highest place, reminding me of the position that I truly am. He's here, I'm here. I pick up his promise, which continually keeps my eyes on his plans, which are perfect. I pick up the armor, which keeps me steady and protected on the journey. I pick up faith to take the steps that I don't understand and I can't see the full path. They said yes and took steps of faith. And I pick up trust, knowing his way is always better. Surrender is not passive. It's required, but it requires something from you as well. Pick up the things that he's given you to live a surrendered life.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is so good. So much more we could say, but that's where we're going to stop for today. And just, wow, what a great bunch of nuggets and thoughts. Just remember, God wants to show up in 2023 in your life. God wants to continue. How many years have you been walking with the Lord? Since 1943 years. And you've had just revelations in the last 4 years that have helped you walk forward. You know, you guys have been walking with the Lord since Moby Dick was a minnow. Yep. Nothing left to learn, right? Wrong. Right? There's this freshness, and the farther you get into it, the sense of the largeness of God, where you feel like we've just scratched the surface. Prioritize Jesus in 2023. Invite God into the ordinary. Invite him into all of the mundane things, and watch what God does this year. God's going to do something amazing. Let me bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God show up in everything that you do as you surrender and actively pick up the things that God's called you to walk out and to do in this new year. We pray for financial blessings, spiritual blessings, blessings in our body and in our families and in our relationships, blessings over our businesses, our farms, and our homes in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.